This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I have a very special guest today. Her name is Catherine Brown Ransperger. Going to be talking about why it's important to step into your own story and how that changes your life. Catherine is an author, coach, humanitarian, and speaker. As a researcher and writer for Nat Geo, and later as a humanitarian journalist, her work and travels took her through Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. Her new novel, A Thousand Flying Things, is a standalone sequel to her award-winning novel, The Shores of Our Souls. Catherine also has a small coaching practice focusing on diverse relationships and intuitive creativity. Welcome to the show, Catherine. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, Mari. Thank you so much for having me and connecting with me today.
Oh, it's lovely having you. So tell us a little bit about how you came to do what you currently do.
Well, I've had a bit of a roller coaster life, especially the first, I'd say, 30 years, and then things calmed down considerably. Mm-hmm. I navigated early what most people navigate maybe in their 50s or 60s. We were almost homeless once. I had a mother with Parkinson's, and we had no health insurance.
Wow.
Had a couple of failed relationships. I'm no stranger to death. And I had my own brush with melanoma, and I'm here and standing and very, very happy. I think that work was my balm and maybe a little bit my savior. And I first was a local journalist and then became more humanitarian in my outlook and worked for Red Cross, Red Crescent, both here and abroad for about 25 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was just an amazing job. There was no ceiling there. I've learned to, I don't know whether this is inside of me or whether it's just something that's come to me through experience, but I'm a bit of a Renaissance woman and I've recreated myself. I've had to learn to recreate myself. And, I always wanted to tell people stories in novels. Mm-hmm. I wrote one when I was 21, and now my life has come full circle. I'm using it all.
Wow, that's so awesome. I love that you've recreated yourself more than once. I have myself as well. You know, it's not the days of you go to high school, then you decide your career, you go to college, you pick that career, and you do that until you retire at 65. Things are well over.
I don't think many people even retire at that age anymore, right?
Exactly. We just keep going. Mm-hmm. So I just love that you say that. So tell us a little bit, Catherine, what are you most passionate about?
So I'm most passionate about bringing peace into the world through connection with other people. And that means better communication. I feel like today there's too much texting. I'm a fan of texting in the right space and not enough talking. Definitely not as much face-to-face talking in the last 3 years as there have been in the past.
Right.
And this is communication across the board. It's in our love relationship, and it's in our neighborhood, and it can be global too. And I think that we have to talk and share our stories, and then we have to listen to other people's. Sometimes it's all a lot of one-sided talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really naive. I was trained to teach international humanitarian law, which is the Geneva Conventions, and I've been on the border of conflict a lot. So I know what can cause it, but I'm talking about everyday grassroots being yourself and talking to other people.
You know, I know that with what we've suffered the last 2-3 years, we really lost a lot of that. We became so isolated and not talking to people. And and you're right, we have to make an effort to begin to, well, talk to, of course, the people who live with us, if we live with other people, to our neighbors, things like that. But I found from my own experience, it takes a little bit of an effort. It's like you kind of got used to the isolation. How do you feel about that?
I totally agree. Even I have become a little lazy about getting out and socializing because there's a little bit of, especially if you're of a certain age, there's a little bit of, wow, I'm not used to this. I read something recently, and I'm sorry I can't cite it, that says that psychologically we're neurologically programmed that if we do something all the time, it feels safe. And if we don't do it all the time, it can feel unsafe. And I think that's part of what's happening. And
right.
I think we've resorted to electronics a little too much. It has its place in the world. Definitely. I'm a writer. I use it all the time. But I think there needs to be more reaching out to other people, even if it feels uncomfortable at first, because eventually it will feel safe.
Yeah. If you do it enough and if it's good for you, it does feel safe. Thank you. Those are really great words. So let's talk a little bit about authenticity and the part that plays in all of this for you, Kathy.
So, Mari, I would say that most people would say that that's a word for me because I grew up in a family that we talked to each other a lot. But I'll give you an example. My mother, for instance, was very secretive about having Parkinson's, which meant she didn't get the help she needed. And there wasn't much help in the 70s. And we felt uncomfortable. The kids and probably my father too. So I vowed that I wouldn't be secretive and that I would be transparent as much as I could. But I also understand why people aren't authentic sometimes because they can feel threatened or fear abandonment. And so my heart goes out to them. It's not that I have never felt that. I have. But I've found that if I keep secrets, my life just isn't as vivid. This is my personal experience, but I feel like people don't get to know me as well. I was on a call recently where somebody said I had to Google that you were a writer because you said you had, I weigh a little too much. And she was like, how can you be a writer and weigh too much? And I started kind of chuckling because, first of all, I know a lot of us that have a little too much. But everybody has problems, and I think we have to realize that if we share it, other people are going to say, oh, look at what she did or look at what he did, and they're going to step forward too, even if they do have challenges, because I've got some.
Yeah, don't we all? We all have challenges. I love all that, Catherine, because as we speak, and it doesn't mean that we have to speak to the whole world about it, you know, you can, especially as writers, we reveal a lot about ourselves. But even speaking just to our closest friends, etc., and being real with them is so important. You know, sharing, my daughter and I were having this conversation. Instead of making up stories why we can't go somewhere, say, I really don't want to, or I'm not feeling up to it. You know what I'm saying? It's time for us to be who we are, more real. And I agree with everything that you've said. Very nice. So what do you think is the main message you want to bring to the public today?
So it's probably all about stories.
Okay.
I think of all of us as not only having a story, being made up of stories, and living a story. Like Shakespeare would say, all the world's a stage. And the story that we carry around with us is often at least primed in very early childhood. And I like to take it out like I would a prism from time to time and see if I've changed and therefore it's changed, or how my perspective is based on what I'm looking at, to examine it a little bit. And I love doing that with clients, because if we aren't aware that we have a story, or we're not aware of the story or how it affects us and others and how we understand the world or react to it or even behave in it, then we're not only doing others a disservice, we're doing ourselves a disservice.
Yeah.
So if we step into our story periodically first, then we can, and that includes our own self-talk, by the way. It's that little yada, yada, yada in the morning when we get up and sit. At least I have this voice. It's like the to-do list and, oh, no, got to do this. And it gets us out of the yada, 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 and it helps us see each other and the people around us a little bit better. So, and that brings us clarity. And if we have clarity, we start to see the world differently. And then we start to see ourselves differently and vice versa. And all of that can enhance peace. Because if we've got it within, it grounds us to be able to spread it a little further.
Yes, I love that. You know, when you said we are made up of stories, that kind of piqued my interest. And then you went ahead and said, we need to be aware of what your story is. And I guess many people are not aware. I know that you help clients in this area. How do you start, or what steps does a person take so that they can be aware of the story? They may not even know what is the story they're telling about themselves or believe about themselves.
So thank you. I've got a trademarked coaching process that I'm really proud of. I started it as a general coaching technique, and then I started helping my writer, the writers that came to me with it, and now it's again come back full circle, and I'm using it more generally with clients. So process itself is about using imagery or sensory information to get past our mind and into a visualization meditative state. And that usually brings symbols or archetypes or a story, right? Even if we don't see a story playing out about our lives, it helps in problem solving and it helps when people are stuck. But it also helps us identify something we might be missing in terms of trying to figure something out. And in terms of using that kind of thing every day, which I do most days, I think that can help a lot. I don't think you have to be trained. I think it's just closing your eyes and seeing what comes up, because a lot of times we're not quiet enough or still enough to hear what's going on in our lives even. So that would be my first tip, is to quiet your mind for about 3 minutes. That's all it takes, and that you can lengthen it if it feels right. The other thing is to think about all the sensory information you might be feeling, especially if you're, I call it the squirmies, like if you're feeling anxious or afraid or just have a lump in your throat, right? To identify it and talk to it and figure out what it means. That's more intermediate level, but it can still be done all by yourself. The other part of it is to write a little paragraph or talk into your phone about how you're feeling, about how what's going on. From time to time, I'm not as good as I used to be, but from time to time I do. Julia Cameron is famous for this, morning pages, where I just get all the junk out, and then I can go ahead and write beautiful sentences. So those would be my three biggest tips for people trying to figure out what their story is. And I would also add that you'll probably find some gems in there. It's not all just blah, blah, blah or negativity. There's some amazing inspirations that can come through doing this regularly.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, thank you for sharing that with us. Those are wonderful. You know, you said the quieting of our minds, just to stop listening to everything that's going around us, and there's a lot going on around us. So, I just love that. Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And if you want to call in and talk to Catherine or ask her a question, the lines are open. You can dial 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. You can start dialing now, and we'll be right back.
Do you ever wonder how other people become toxic? Do you suspect you might be toxic yourself? How do you begin to heal and move on from the collateral damage of your toxic mother? Get your life back. Love others boldly. Order Guy R. Curie's easy-to-read book, Toxic Mothers, A Son's Guide to Healing and Moving On, from Amazon. And subscribe to his website, www.guyrcurie.com. Toxic Mothers, A Son's Guide to Healing and Moving On.
Everyone has a story to tell. Do you want to write a book? Rebecca Vigus can help. Find her at www.rebeccavigus.com. As a writer, she has written 14 books and has been writing for over 50 years. Book a free appointment with her to see what she can offer. Take the free test to see what kind of author you are. Again, find her at www.rebeccavigus.com. Let your book change a life.
Welcome. We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Maury Mitchell, with special guest Catherine Ramsberger. She's been talking about why it's important to step into your own story and how that changes your life. So we just talked about how you begin to step into your own story, even be aware of what your story is. What happens, Catherine, after you are aware of your story? Where does that take you next?
Well, it generally, Maury, takes you into a place where you have the possibility to be who you truly are. Mm-hmm. And that can lead to what people call soul path. I think that there are many soul paths personally, but some people say, what's my purpose? That's the kind of thing it can lead to. And for me, it led me back to writing novels. And so I think that it grounds you, it helps you define boundaries, and it also opens up practically infinite possibilities, and then it helps you make a choice.
Fantastic. Very good. And speaking of writing novels, let's talk about your new book, A Thousand Flying Things. Tell us a little bit about your inspiration for it and what the reader can expect.
Oh, thank you. I'm so grateful to be able to talk about this book because I just got my first blog review of it, and it ends Not only does it raise humanitarian awareness, it's a powerful soul-searching story that will keep your interest right down to the last page. I want to thank EverReady for, it's a longer review, but those words just are exactly what my intention was when I started writing these two novels. This is the second in a series. The first one is called The Shores of Our Souls, and it introduces Qasem and Diana. She's from the South. He's from Beirut. They couldn't be more different than to each other in a disco bar one foggy night in New York City, and they fall accidentally in love, and there's a little bit of chaos along the way. This is the follow-up to that, but let me say that it is also a standalone because it's about what happened to them over the past decade that they catalyze in each other. They help each other find their stories. They help each other figure out what they want in life and what they don't want in life. So all of that has already happened, but the reader will definitely learn about it. But it opens in southern Sudan. I used a lot of the stories I learned as I spent time in Africa and the Middle East for this. And I chose southern Sudan because it is an amalgamation of religion and culture. And Diana finds herself there working in a camp, teaching displaced kids. And she's heartbroken as she finds out that the little boy that comes to her every day might be training to be a child soldier. And it opens with that, and she has to decide whether to go back to the man who holds her heart or help the child who just stole her heart. They're unbearable choices for anybody, and the question the novel asks is, can a person find the path to settle their soul? It doesn't end at all as one would expect, I'm proud to say. And there's secrets and lies that are being held that will open this humanitarian's eyes. She's not right in her convictions or her assumptions all the time. But I still feel like she's a lovable, dynamic protagonist.
Wow. I love that she's not right all the time because it makes her human.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
That's a wonderful way, to create your protagonist. She's not right all the time. A lot of books, they're right all the time and there's no such thing. So I love that, Catherine. Thank you so much for telling us about your book. Really amazing. And I know how much you love them. I can tell just by the way you speak about them, how dear they are to your heart. So let's talk for a moment about how to get a hold of you and your books.
Thank you for that. So the best way, probably, because I have a very hard to spell last name, is on social media. All of my social media handles are at Kathy Ramsberger. That's Kathy with a K, A-T-H-Y, and Ramsberger is spelled R-A-M-S-P-E-R-G-E-R. There's no B in my name. I have a website for everything. New website, newly unveiled, KatherineBrownRamsberger.com. You can find out more about my coaching and my books there. But if you find you're like, I don't have a clue how to spell this, if you Google it, it probably will show up with my name, These Shores of Our Souls. So that's multiple ways to get in touch with me. And I hope you do. I'd love to say hello.
Wonderful. And Catherine's websites are right here, KatherineBrownRamsberger.com. right here on Blog Talk. You can link to them, and Ground on Coaching for her coaching services.com. So it's easy. You don't have to spell anything. You can just click right from here into her website. Fantastic. Catherine, is there one last thing you'd like to say to a listener, something that's really deep on your heart today?
I just love that this is the Dare to Be Authentic show. I just adore that you have a show about it, Mari. And so I would say, in leaving, be yourself. Find ways to be happy and grateful. Always be kind and share your story with others, but remember to listen to.
Mm. That's really good. I love that. If we don't listen to one another's stories, we can't learn anything about that person, right?
Exactly.
That's a trait that I found also has declined through the years. People who actually take the time to listen instead of just talking, you know, about themselves. So I'm glad that you encourage that.
Well, you do too. Thank you so much for your show. I know it's changed a lot of lives.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so sweet to hear. And to the listener, the show is live. I want to remind you that the show is live, but there's a replay of this that's being created as we speak. So be sure to pass this along. There's a lot of great information, a lot of great encouragement in this show, and it will be available right after, so you can spread this all around. Very good. Anything? We have about 3 minutes, Catherine. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to the listener?
I would love to read the end of my poem that I shared with you. I won't read the whole thing. And it's about how to become authentic, although the name of the poem is Guarding, and I wrote it long, long ago, but I live by it. We should not be afraid of becoming less vivid because of a little frost. Have you never seen a tiny, perfect bud, which is not to fruition, lying on the snow? Only its outer tips are tainted with rust, but it has never known life. We have to step out there, step into our story, and be ourselves, and we'll have a really vivid life then.
Yeah, I love that word vivid. Every time you say it, I just see colors. I see everything in like beautiful colors. Like you see it on these new awesome TVs, you know, and I was at my daughter's house and I'm like, oh my gosh, the colors on your TV, they're beyond real. But whenever you say the word vivid, that's what I see. I love that, Kathy. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. What a beautiful poem. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you, Maury. I just thank you for your kind words, and I love color, so I'm glad it comes through.
Just for me. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been such a pleasure having you. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. Make sure that you spread this show to others so they can be blessed as well. And thank you for listening to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Catch us next time. Bye for now.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.